coming out here and going for hikes reminded me of going out with my dad. On our property, we had a number of acres, deep woods in the back, and I remember being a young, I don't know, maybe 6 years old or younger, when dad could do anything, and took me out, going for a walk. I don't know what we were doing, but this is all my perception. It was getting dark out, and I could no longer see the house. We're off like the trail. I just remember being like, I would not be able to get back home if I was by myself. Just like when David took me out on a hike yesterday, right? And tried to lose me, but he didn't. But here I am. But really, I was like kind of, I remember thinking about this. It just really, it kind of sits with me still. Obviously, here I'm talking about it. And as I'm sort of scared, or where am I? How do you get back? I realized my dad had my hand. And that's all I needed. He didn't need to tell me how to get back or where home was. He didn't need to give me a flashlight. He didn't do any, need to do anything. He was enough. And I was totally fine, right? You remember those days? Maybe not a dad, maybe a mom, maybe a grandparent, whatever. They're with you, you're good. Wouldn't you love to be in that world? And as you get older, dad's not such a genius, isn't perfect, and he's getting older, and you become more cynical, and it's hard to trust like that. It's not enough that your dad's got your hand. Sometimes it's not enough that God has your hand, is it? You want more. I would like to say I love Mark chapter 4. It's got some cute, beautiful, famous story of Jesus on the sea calming it, the mustard seed. But I really can't stand it. I've realized Jesus being enough. Just being a mustard seed. Jesus in chapter 4, he's teaching the disciples and he steps back, or not just disciples, tons of people, right? And he gets in a boat, creates sort of amphitheater. Where he could stand, they could see him better, hear him better, and he's teaching them about the kingdom of God and what it's going to look like. And why does he have to teach them this? Because they're not going to like it. It's going to be weird to them. So he spends maybe all of it, most of his parables throughout Scripture, the kingdom of heaven is like. And it's usually something you wouldn't think it should look like. And the last thing Jesus says is that beautiful, cute parable. I'm surprised there's not some little poster with a little mustard seed around here. The kingdom of heaven is like, oh, a mustard seed, he said. The smallest of seeds in the garden, insignificant, unseen, tiny, weak, and yet over time becomes so large, is the largest in the garden, and he uses this interesting phrase, it can hold even birds in it. I think quoting Psalm 86, even the swallow finds a home. So he teaches this great lesson how the God's kingdom is going to look tiny and small, hidden. You're not going to notice it, weak. And then Jesus does this a lot, I've noticed. He teaches and then he tests. So he teaches this thing right through parables, but then usually what follows is an event that puts it to the test in real time and in real life. And sure enough, Jesus is done teaching, talks about the mustard seed, and he says, let's go over to the other side. Which is kind of, I don't know if those are naval terms, you know? It's like not good directions. What, to a city, to a person? We're going across to the other side. And some people have said the other side is the non-Jewish area, the Gentiles, and Jesus is bringing them all into the kingdom. That perhaps, but I like it, Jesus, just like we're going to the other side. That's all you get. That's all you need to know. And then Mark says this. Leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat. And he says this specifically, doesn't need to, just as he was. No gear, no extra helpers, I don't know, magic tricks, devices for Jesus. Just Jesus, plain clothed, nothing more. And so they take him on the boat, and that's enough, right? And also, I like, that's kind of interesting. It says there were other boats as well. And this is not the point of the sermon, but it's kind of interesting there. Other boats. So they don't know what's happening. So we'll just kick to the end of this beautiful miracle here. But imagine them. They don't know this Jesus maybe or what exactly is going on. They're just by themselves in this boat. But they're affected when Jesus calms the storm. Because everyone is affected. When Christ was born, when Christ died and rose, all things were touched and affected, whether they know it or not. So they get into the boat, and quickly, you know the story, right? A big storm arises automatically, right? A squall, it usually says in the English translation. And it's so bad that the water's coming into the boat, right? It's flooding the boat. And then Mark says, what? Where's Jesus? He was in the back, or for you boat people, stern. And I love what he says here. He was in the stern asleep on the cushion. Little mustard seed. Just Jesus, nothing bothering him, resting like he likes to do, the creator of the universe on the seventh day, Lord of the Sabbath. He rests who invites you into his rest. And what do they say when they see him doing that? What would you say? You ever feel like that? It's crazy in your life, and Jesus is sleeping. Does the kingdom of heaven look like that? Culture's crazy, attacking the church. It's hard to be a Christian in this world or your own personal life, right? Jesus seems to be sleeping. He's not enough. Having just Jesus alone with no gear or anything right over there is not enough. We need more proof. We need some sort of immediate answer. We need something. And the disciples think the same thing, don't they? So they cry out to Jesus in a real crass, quite an offensive way if you think about it. Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? Pretty good prayer. Have you ever prayed that? You can. Jesus gets kind of ornery in a little bit here, but I think you can pray like that. Read the Psalms. Don't you care, God, is like half of them. It's okay to say it. And Jesus is going to talk back to you, but that's okay. He's still going to hang out with you. It's all right. Don't you care that I'm perishing? Jesus gets up, be still. And immediately the storm stops, and it's calm. Great. But then he looks at his disciples, in a sense, tells them to be still. He says, why were you afraid? You still don't have faith. They failed the test, right? After hearing Jesus, in fact, not only that, Jesus, after he was done doing the parables, Mark tells us, he then explained the parables to the disciples. Like they should know this. It's not going to look like you think. Hanging out with Jesus is not going to go as you plan it to go. It's going to be small. It's going to be tiny. There's going to be suffering, etc. And yet the first test, and they fail and freak out, lose faith, because Jesus is not enough for them. It's kind of curious what would happen if they didn't wake Jesus up. Would they have been okay? Absolutely. Would the water, this is coming to the boat, would have sunk the boat? I don't know. Maybe it would. But who's in the boat? Jesus is. Who walks on water, by the way. I don't know. I don't know how they would have survived if they didn't ask Jesus for help. But Jesus is in the boat. They'd be just fine. That's not enough for us. We always want more than that. We want immediate healing. This church wants to be big. We hate being mustard seeds. We hate suffering. It reminds me of flying. I love to fly. I love to go places. But, as my wife can attest, I don't like turbulence. So, if you want to see this story in a modern version, just watch me on a plane
and a little, not water coming in the boat, by the way, I'm talking about a little turbulence, and I'm, Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? I really am, right? And I'm praying. And God's like, I love it when you fly. We want to be Christians. We want to have a good life. Job was like that too, right? Why am I suffering? And the answer is not, it's not what we want. Jesus is enough. You got Jesus. That's it. Or what God says to Job. I'm in charge of all things. You'll be all right. But you might not like it for a little bit. Now we know this story is not just about some cool water miracle. This Jesus, this little mustard seed who finds himself in weird places that you would never expect alone, is on another journey, not just across to the other side, but on his way to Jerusalem, where the thief on the cross looks over and sees Jesus just as he is, stripped bare, no tricks, no miracles even at this point. Absolutely quiet, allowing people to mock him or yell at him, don't you care that we're perishing? Or if you really are the Son of God, then come down from there. And there's Jesus by himself. Who'd expect God on a cross, an ultimate mustard seed, insignificant, weak, foolish? Why? Because he cares that you are perishing. That the disciples were perishing, not just from some storm, but from their actions. Adam and Eve's actions that created a storm in a messed up world. We're perishing from our sins. We are perishing. We all are. Slowly. In death. And Christ became nothing so that we might have the crown of righteousness. Jesus became us so we could be him in baptism. And that is enough. His sacrifice on the cross is enough. Jesus alone rising from the dead is enough. And his promises to you, they're not complicated. They're not sophisticated. And there's not a lot. Christianity is so simple. You are forgiven by the blood of Christ. You will rise again. And he cares so much that he keeps on giving us his body and blood. Take and eat, take and drink. This is my body, this is my blood, shed for the forgiveness of your sins, and that's enough. And for all your questions about what about tomorrow, I'd rather be in a big ship, Jesus, right? I wish my life was going like this. As a preacher, I can't tell you anything more than Jesus is enough. You are forgiven. You will get to the other side. You are loved not by the powerful God only, but the one who died for you. And that, to your grave, will be what you will hang on to. I promise you that. It is all we have. And it is enough. In Jesus' name, amen.